I am ready.
Do it.
Hello.
Oh, God.
It's the White House.
That's a, your own White House correspondence intro song?
That's the ghosts. That's what, in my mind, that's the ghosts in the White House sing. They just, President Lincoln's walking around going, hello, it's Abe.
It's Abe. There's no, that was, you should choose a different. It would be better if you said Abraham or something.
No, it has to be one syllable.
Oh, I guess you're right.
Hey guys,
I'm Ashley.
And I'm Samantha.
Hide your kids, because you're listening to Midwest Made Us Do It, the pod where two best friends chat about whatever tickles our pickle.
So buckle up, because we're corn-fed, but not inbred.
Yeah, Honest Abe or Abraham is not going to work. Hello, it's Abe. I am wandering the halls in times of tension in the White House.
Excellent.
Well, that's the rumor anyway.
Okay.
So today, if you didn't guess, we are talking about fun facts of the White House.
All right. Yay. Fun facts. White House.
Okay. So I love this. There's a whole website dedicated to the White House, the actual White House, and like fun facts.
Wow. You should have probably told me about that when I was looking for things to talk about, because that would have been helpful.
Well, it should have come up in your Google search. It is, hold on, let me look through my notes here. It is called the, where is it?
I don't know. It doesn't exist. You made it up.
Whitehousehistory.org.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that one.
Oh, okay. So I got a lot of info from whitehousehistory.org, Town and Country, TV Insider, biography.com, and history.com. That's where I got all my info today. So I'm really excited because I'm going to be sharing the first thing I want to share, because it's light and it's fun. And I love animals. Samantha's not an animal person, but I am.
Okay.
You're evil. So I'm going to share some of the White House pets, because let me tell you, I did not know there have been some wild friggin' animals in the White House as pets.
Okay.
Like, we're used to, you know, a couple of dogs, maybe, you know, the Clintons had Sox the cat.
Oh,
like,
okay.
We know these animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there have been some friggin' nuts animals. Okay. So our first White House pet that I want to talk about, because it's important, President Joe and Dr. Jill Biden, they have two German shepherds, and their names are Major, who is 3 years old, and Champ, who is 13. Major Biden will be the first dog from a shelter to live in the White House. Major was adopted in November of 2018 and has recently made news because he had a quote unquote biting incident with a member of the Secret Service. Yeah, so they moved Major and Champ back to their home in Delaware.
No.
But do not hold this against shelter dogs. We should always adopt when we can and not shop.
I agree. Our dog is from a shelter.
Adopt, don't shop. So former President Bill and former Madam Secretary Hillary Rodham Clinton had Socks, which was a black and white cat. And then during the later years of Bill's presidency, they got a dog named Buddy, who was a chocolate lab. And apparently the two animals notoriously did not get along.
I mean, do they just let him roam anywhere in the White House? That's a big one place to roam around. Or they keep him confined somewhere?
I don't know. Maybe wild. They didn't go into that. President John and Jackie Kennedy, they had a lot of animals. Well, because they had little kids. So they brought pet hamsters. Their names were Debbie and Billy.
Oh.
I love the names. They had a gray cat named Tom Kitten, a canary named Robin. And then they added, while they were there, ponies named Macaroni and Tex.
Oh, nice.
They also got a dog named Pushinka, who was given to them by the Soviet premier Nikita Khrushchev.
Oh.
And then they had a Welsh terrier named Charlie, a German shepherd named Clipper, a cocker spaniel named Shannon, and they had parakeets Maybell and Bluebell.
Wow.
And then they had Wolf, an Irish wolfhound, and those animals would kind of come and go. I know, they had a lot.
That's a lot of animals.
That's not the worst. We're going to get into some wild shit.
Okay.
So President Hoover had several dogs that lived in the White House during his time, including a Belgian shepherd named King Tut. And then Hoover's son owned alligators that could be seen on the White House.
Oh.
Yeah, the alligators would roam the White House grounds.
Okay. Well.
And then this is my favorite. A White House policeman captured a wild opossum, and the Hoovers adopted them. And the opossum was named Billy Possum. I love that. And I also want to note that when the Hoovers got their possum moved into a pen who was built by the Coolidge family for their pet raccoon named Rebecca.
What?
We're going to get into this.
These are wild, like these aren't pets.
I love raccoons. I bottle fed baby raccoons when we lived in Maine, and it was wonderful until they had diarrhea on me.
Gross.
Okay, so the Coolidge White House was chaotic. I need to tell you all of these animals that were there.
Oh, Lord,
okay?
Buckle up.
So they had dogs, birds, cats, raccoons, a hippo.
What?
A pygmy hippo. A small hippo.
Oh, my God.
A bear.
Oh.
And lion cubs.
What? It was a friggin' circus?
Oh, I need to go into detail about the raccoon story because it's very extra.
Oh,
okay,
no.
Okay, so one of the most interesting White House pets was the First Lady Grace Coolidge. It was her raccoon named Rebecca. So they received her as a gift from a supporter in Mississippi who intended the animal to be eaten for Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, my. For Thanksgiving?
Who eats raccoons?
Well, I wonder where that person lived. I could say somewhere in the Midwest.
Mississippi.
Okay. That makes more sense. I was going to say, I could say somewhere real weird in the Midwest, but it would possibly offend people, but I'm good with Mississippi.
If anyone listens and they're from Mississippi, can you tell us about your raccoon eating? Like, what is that? Why would you eat a raccoon? I don't get that. Anyway, the First Lady fell in love with the raccoon and kept her as a pet instead. The American public and the media were obsessed with Rebecca. By the way, there's so much written about Rebecca.
Really?
Yes. So people were like really wanting Rebecca to find love or consent or companionship. And so an unnamed White House policeman found a raccoon in Northern Virginia and brought it with him to the White House to serve as Rebecca's quote unquote boyfriend. I can't. So the raccoon's name was originally Horace, but the president did not like the name, so he changed it to Reuben. So we have Reuben and Rebecca, the White House raccoons in the Coolidge era. So Reuben was a hot mess. He escaped the cage frequently. He scaled the highest trees. One occasion, he climbed the White House fence and leapt up onto Pennsylvania Avenue, and he halted traffic for 30 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
So they were like, okay, Reuben, you got to get the hell up out of here. So he escaped to the grounds and was never found after.
He's wild Reuben.
Reuben got out. He was like, I was in the woods and y'all brought me to this place. I don't like it. So the Coolidges had built a special wooden house for Rebecca. And there was like a little panel that would flip up so she could climb in and out. And when they left the White House in 1929, they obviously took Rebecca with them. And they sent her to go live at the Rock Creek Zoo so that she could be around other raccoons. Uh-huh. Which I think was probably the nice thing to do. Rebecca participated in like the Easter egg hunt. Like they'd put a leash on her and they'd walk her around.
Really?
Kids would pet her. Yes, Rebecca was like the star of the show during the Coolidge presidency.
Wow, she went from being like uber famous to being just another raccoon at the zoo.
I know, they should just let her go free. President Warren and Florence Harding, they had two dogs, they had canaries, and they had a squirrel named Pete.
Named what? Named Pete?
Pete.
Squirrels are so crazy.
I love squirrels.
You do? They're no, thank you. They're nuts.
I love them. They're so chaotic. It makes
they
me
are
so
chaotic.
Happy.
They're like rah rah rah. They're right. They're left. They're up. They're down. They're wah. They're nuts.
Yeah. If you go to like an area where squirrels are living in more like city settings, mm-hmm. they'll come right up to you and beg for food, which I love. I'm like, hey, squirrel friend.
Nope.
Woodrow and Edith Wilson. So they had sheep that grazed on the White House lawn.
To mow their grass?
Yes. Okay. Oh. This was supposed to be a reminder of the war effort.
Oh. Okay.
So it saved the government money by cutting the grass. Good guess there.
Okay.
And then they also would auction off the wool to benefit the Red Cross.
Oh.
Yeah. So this was like, we're going to be serious and make choices that reflect our wartime. But this was cool. So they kept a ram, and the ram chewed tobacco.
What?
Yep.
I'm telling you, this is an interesting situation here.
Oh, it gets weirder.
Oh, great.
As we go back further. William Howard and Helen Taft had a cow who was a celebrity named Pauline Wayne.
Oh.
So Pauline traveled the country and even gave an interview to the Washington Post.
What was that about? Did you find that interview?
I didn't find it, but I'll look for it. And they also had a dog named Caruso, but quite frankly, I'm more interested in the cow that
sure.
gives interviews. But the thing is the White House really wasn't that fancy. It was pretty messed up until Jackie Kennedy came in and restored it. She didn't renovate it. She didn't like that word. She restored it.
Mm.
President James Buchanan, who was the single president, he was a bachelor. He's patriotic AF. He had a pair of bald eagles.
Oh.
And he had a Newfoundland, which are huge dogs. They're like small ponies.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had a toy terrier. So he had a huge dog and a little dog and two bald eagles. That's American AF. And then there's another alligator that makes an appearance with John Quincy Adams. So he kept an alligator in the White House bathroom.
What?
Yes. So this was a gift from Marquis de Lafayette, who was the French aristocrat military officer who fought in the American Revolutionary War. And John Quincy Adams' wife, Louis. So they said that he would bring the alligator out to scare people.
Okay.
He would walk the alligator out of the bathroom to scare people. And then his wife, Louisa, was very sickly and prone to migraines and other ailments. And she started harvesting silk from the silkworms, which lived in the mulberry trees on the grounds. And so she had pet silkworms.
Interesting.
So those are the White House pets that I found that were interesting. Wild days in the White House.
It is wild days. I'm interested. Yeah, that's interesting. Those pets are crazy. So Easter's coming up. Thought this would tie in well with this topic. BuzzFeed came out with 16 surprisingly interesting facts about the White House Easter egg roll. You know the Easter egg hunt that they do on the White House lawn every year?
Yes, Rebecca participated.
Oh, yes, Rebecca the raccoon, yes. So first things first, it's an egg roll, not an Easter egg hunt. It's an Easter egg roll. An Easter egg roll is basically a race where you compete to push eggs down the White House lawn with a spoon, which would be why Rebecca probably needed to be on a leash or she would be eating the eggs because they used real eggs.
Are the eggs cooked or
boiled? Boiled eggs.
They were like hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah. People have been rolling Easter eggs. People have been rolling Easter eggs around Washington since the 1800s. And the very first White House Easter egg roll happened after Congress passed a law that literally demanded local youth to get off their lawns.
What an old person thing. Get off my lawn, damn kids.
So since the Capitol Police threatened to enforce the law, even for children, President Rutherford B. Hayes and his wife Lucy opened up the White House gates for festivities 2 years later in 1878. These days, today, anyone can enter the lottery to attend the annual White House party, and more than 35,000 tickets are usually distributed. So you have to get put into a drawing and win a lottery. You cannot just go. The Easter Bunny didn't make an appearance until 1969. There's been an Easter egg roll every Easter Monday since the Hayes' first one. The practice of using real eggs stopped during the Ford administration because they could be smelled 3 square miles away. Can you
eat? Ew.
Right? There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of boiled eggs rolling around on a lawn. Not only is that gross, but can you even... I can't even think of the smell of that rotten egg and how you pick it all up. How do you clean it up? It is a mystery. I do not know.
Gross. That's disgusting.
So the Reagans had their famous friends autograph wooden eggs during their time in the White House, and wooden eggs have been the norm ever since. So getting rid of real eggs. Now all attendees under the age of 12 get a free souvenir egg on their way out when they leave. So they do other things too besides an egg roll for Easter. They have other games and activities during the big day, but those change from year to year depending on what the presidents want to do. So in 2017, the eggs were gold. So they painted them all gold. There's a picture of them you can see on BuzzFeed. They look very gold. And they've got the presidential stamp on them and some autographs on them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. I don't know. It would be kind of cool to be a part of it. It's been going on for ever and ever and ever. It's amazing tradition. And only 35,000 people get to do it every year.
Oh, that's it?
Where have you been? I've been talking about this. You're not listening to me. You're too busy posting on social media. I literally said, you have to win a lottery to be able to get in on it. You don't just get a ticket.
No, I'm joking. 35,000 is a lot of people.
That's a big lawn.
That's a lot of fucking people.
They're probably not doing it this year. They didn't do it last year.
Did you say 35,000 or 3,500?
35,000 tickets.
That's more people than our town.
It's double our town. Yeah, that's right.
That's double. Mm-hmm. How the fuck they fit all those people on a lawn?
The White House lawn is like 8 acres.
I have seen it. I went there.
You did? I have not. I would like to go to Washington, D.C. and do all the touristy things.
It's really fun. You should go with me. I'm a great travel. Ask my dad. I planned our whole trip. We were seeing shit. We walked like 12 miles one day. I had blisters. My feet were bleeding, but I had a blast.
That sounds exciting. We should do Samantha and Ashley take on Washington, D.C.
I'll do it.
Okay.
I love the museums. They're all free.
Okay. So according to KidsDiscover.com, George Washington chose the site of where the White House is in 1791, and President John Adams and his wife moved in 1800. George Washington never actually lived there. The total cost to build the White House was $232,000. That's roughly $4.3 million in today's dollars, so just a tad expensive. British soldiers set the White House on fire in 1814 during the War of 1812. The White House was the biggest house in the country until after the Civil War. It's so big. It has 132 rooms, 35 bathrooms, 6 different levels, 412 doors, 147 windows, 28 fireplaces, 8 staircases, and 3 elevators. Whew.
Would you be comfortable pooping there is my question.
I would need one special bathroom for myself. That no one could go in.
Sam's poop bathroom.
Yeah.
A note on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sam's poop bathroom. Don't go in here.
Theodore Roosevelt actually named the White House in 1901. Also, fun fact, just so you know, the White House is freshly painted white, and it takes 570 gallons of paint to cover the White House. That is a ton.
Wow.
I found this kind of fun, too.
That's a lot of gallons.
Just because every president's a little different, and they've done little quirky different things to it. So the White House grounds have included movie theaters, a one-lane bowling alley, indoor and outdoor pools, a game room with a pool table, ping pong table, a jogging track, a putting green, a tennis court. Barack Obama added removable basketball hoops to the tennis court so he could practice his favorite sport. So every president has kind of put their little touch on it. I think Hillary Clinton made a room into a music room for Bill so he could play the saxophone. But you wanted to talk about Jackie Kennedy and what the Kennedys have done to it.
I love the Kennedys. I just rewatched HBO was about to take this documentary off. It's like a 5-part series about the Kennedy family. And I rewatched it.
Oh,
and I was
lovely.
Like, ugh, freaking love this family. Anyway, so Jackie Kennedy undertook a huge restoration in 1961, 1962. Okay, so she said, quote, "Everything in the White House must have a reason for being there. It would be sacrilege merely to redecorate it, a word I hate. It must be restored, and that has nothing to do with decoration. That is a question of scholarship."
Oh.
So Jackie's restoration was a 13-month, $2 million renovation.
Wow.
That showcased American presidential history. She shared her work in 1962 on CBS and NBC, and they co-broadcast a tour of the White House with Mrs. John F. Kennedy. Now, a lot of people tuned in. This website said roughly 80 million. Another website said 56 million. We'll just say in the tens of millions watched. And it was so well received that they actually gave her an honorary Emmy for the TV.
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
And she was kind of an introvert. She wasn't super comfortable in front of the camera. So this was like a big thing for her to do. The Fine Arts Committee for the White House was formed in February of 1961. And their goal was to locate authentic furniture of the date of the building of the White House, and the raising of funds to purchase the furniture as gifts for the White House. They were seeking authentic furniture that was deemed acceptable and getting the financing from outside sources so they could avert complaints about misspent taxpayer resources. And so I don't know if the amount has changed, but at this time they were given $50,000 to refurbish things, and they had already used the $50,000 to refurbish their private quarters. So this was money that needed to be brought in separately. She originally felt the restoration should focus on the White House's early style, and it was rebuilt in 1817 after it was burned to the ground by the British troops. And she later expanded to have the restoration reflect the whole history of the presidency. So the coverage of the restoration really helped in reaching people to donate items with White House connections. She sought out a valuable portrait of Benjamin Franklin, and she reached out to this man named Walter Annenberg and said, "Do you think that a great Philadelphia citizen would give the White House a portrait of another great Philadelphia citizen?" And because she reached out to him, he donated the portrait, which he purchased for $250,000. Can you imagine? You just spent $250,000 on a portrait of someone, and then someone hits you up and they're like, "How would you like to donate that?" I'd be like, "No, give
no,
me
thank
$250,000.
You.
And then, so in September of 1961, Congress passed a law making the White House a museum, which means any donated antiques and art became the property of the White House, and it would be placed in the care of the Smithsonian when it's not in use. And the Smithsonian has all the free national art museums, and they have tons of museums in D.C. They're amazing. If you go to D.C., you have to go to the museums. the one that I think had the biggest impact for me was the National Museum of African American History. If you go to DC, you have to go to that. It's very dark, but it's very necessary. And then they have other ones that are like fun where they have like Dorothy shoes and animals, whatever. So any pieces that aren't being used in the White House, they'll put in the Smithsonian. But making it a museum makes sure that any future presidents wouldn't be able to take any pieces of history with them when they were done being president. And the legislation reassured Kennedy that her restoration work wouldn't be completely undone by a future first family. So they're able to make some changes, but not like big changes because it's a museum. She dug into the details for her White House restoration by studying books and periodicals to learn about the history. And thanks to her research, she found 4 Cezanne paintings in the National Gallery of Art, which were moved into the White House, and which were the original intended destination. So she found that out, and then she was like, those Cezannes are ours. I was like, good for you, Jackie. You get your painting.
Get it.
And then she would physically go through everything, all the storage, bathrooms, rooms, and she looked for valuable items that were already there and maybe hidden. And she, in this searching, she found the light rugs that were ordered by Teddy Roosevelt, and she found French flatware that was from James Monroe. She found century-old busts downstairs in the men's room.
Oh.
Wild. And she was in the broadcast room and moved aside some electric gear, and that's where she found the Resolute desk. So the Resolute desk that we see everywhere was in an electric room.
Really?
Yes. So the desk was made. It's crazy.
That's really crazy. Wait, I find that very interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it was made from timbers from the HMS Resolute and was a gift from Queen Victoria to President Rutherford B. Hayes.
Yes.
So she placed the desk in the Oval Office, and that's where it has remained.
Wow.
So that desk has been there forever. And then in the fall of 1961, they established the White House Historical Association, and they helped to make the White House guidebook, which was Jackie's idea. And I guess when she had toured the White House as a child, she came from an affluent family, and she was disappointed that there were no guidebooks when she was a kid. And so she created the White House, a Historic Guide, which is a guidebook that you can learn about the White House and the history and the art and everything.
Cool.
So interesting. I love Jackie Kennedy. What panache, what style, what grace, what class. Love that.
Love
it. And then I need to bitch about something here.
Because I'm thrilled.
So people think that the Rose Garden was Jackie's Rose Garden. That wasn't Jackie's Rose Garden. That was John's Rose Garden. That was our president who was assassinated Rose Garden. So he worked with a horticulturist that was a friend of theirs to make this rose garden, because they had this big area and they wanted it. It had been different things over the years, but he wanted to create something that reflected, you know, him and the family had traveled to Europe and they wanted to reflect the European garden style. Mm-hmm. And so he worked with this horticulturist to create this colorful, beautiful rose garden. And that's where they used to do a lot of press and meetings. And, you know, the Rose Garden is very famous. And it began in the spring of 1962. That's when they first started the Rose Garden. And then it finished the same year. It was truly President Kennedy's garden. And in 2020,
oh no,
Melania, quote unquote, restored the garden by uprooting the 10 crabapple trees that were part of the original design and getting rid of the colorful roses and tulips. She left the white flowers.
Why?
I'm not going to say why. Okay. I am trying to be like Jackie O and be
like
classy.
It. Okay. It can always be. Tell you, it can always be changed back.
I'm pissed. You don't mess with the Kennedy's Rose Garden. That made me very angry. I was like, how dare you? How dare you mess with the Kennedy's Rose Garden?
I'm sorry that you're angry.
Listen, I admire and respect the Kennedys very much.
Yeah.
They weren't perfect, but they were ours. They were young. They were hip. They were hot.
Yeah, they were beautiful.
By the way, when you're done with this, I want you to look up Jackie Kennedy's eyebrows. Her eyebrows are like the best eyebrows I've ever seen in my life.
I'll do that for you.
If I could just look like Jackie Kennedy, that'd be, my life would be all set. All right. Well, that's all I got about the Kennedy Jackie's restoration, but it's beautiful now because it was kind of a dump. Like, yeah, I had to like fix it up a bunch.
I want to look and see like before and after photos.
So there are apparently a lot of ghosts in the White House. Abigail Adams and her husband, John, who was the second president, haunt the East Room of the White House. So apparently Abigail would hang the wash in the East Room. Mm-hmm. And so her ghost that's clad in a cap and a lace shawl is headed towards the East Room with her arms outstretched.
Oh.
Like she's carrying laundry, but she's just coming at you.
Creepy.
That's creepy.
She's an angry lady doing laundry all the rest of her days.
Listen, I'd be angry if I had to live in limbo carrying laundry too.
Yeah.
It's not what you want in life. And then in the early 1860s, by the way, I fuck with Mary Todd Lincoln, okay? She believed strongly in the occult, and she held seances in the White House to commune with the spirits of her dead sons. So she told friends that she heard President Jackson stomping and swearing through the halls of the presidential residence.
Oh.
So in the Rose Room, that's where President Jackson's bedchamber was while he was president. It is believed by some to be one of the most haunted rooms in the White House. His ghostly presence also showed up in writings from President Harry Truman. So in June of 1945, 2 months into his first term, Truman wrote a letter to his wife, Bess, and wrote, "I sit here in this old house and working on foreign affairs, read reports and work on speeches, all the while listening to the ghosts walk up and down the hallway and even right here in the study. The floors pop and the drapes move back and forth. I can just imagine old Andy Jackson and Teddy Roosevelt having an argument over Franklin Roosevelt." Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
And then the most frequently reported sighting in the White House has been the ghost of Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
So he was murdered famously in 1865. So all the people that have seen them, I'm just going to talk about them. So Grace Coolidge, who was the wife of President Calvin Coolidge, was the first person to say she had actually seen Lincoln's ghost. According to her, the former president was standing and looking out a window in the Oval Office. And then Lady Bird Johnson, who was the wife of President Lyndon Johnson, felt Lincoln's presence one night while watching a television program about his death.
Oh,
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
And then First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt used the Lincoln bedroom as her study, and she said she would feel his presence when she worked there late at night. And then also, the Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands, when she was visiting the White House, she heard a knock on her bedroom door in the night. When she answered, she said she saw Lincoln's ghost wearing his top hat, and she fainted.
Oh.
Yep. And then British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, who also visited the White House during World War II, he told a story of emerging naked from his evening bath, smoking his cigar, which he did every night, and he would find a ghostly Lincoln sitting by the fireplace in his room.
Creepy.
So a lot of people have seen this ghost. Then a seamstress in the White House named Lillian Rogers Parks, she investigated the sound of someone pacing an upper level of the White House. And another staff member told her the room in question had been unoccupied and that, quote, old Abe's pacing the floor. So psychics that have gone in have speculated that Lincoln's spirit remains in the White House to be on hand in times of crisis, as well as to complete the difficult work that his untimely death left unfinished.
Wow. Well, if you ever do a tour of the White House, look out for the ghost, I guess.
I'd love to do a tour of the White House.
They do them, right? Yeah, they do them.
Do they?
I mean, in National Treasure, they do. I get all of my historical information from National Treasure.
Discovery Kids.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage knows what he's talking about, and clearly Discovery Kids also.
So that's all we got for, I'm sure there's more White House stuff that we could get into. I'd love to do some First Lady biographies.
While I was looking through this, I did read that the president, of course, gets paid. However, and most of the stuff, room and board, well, room is paid for, clearly, to live there, but board is not. They have to pay for their own groceries, their own food, their own transportation. I think there was a list of stuff that they have to pay for themselves that tax dollars do not pay for, just so people know.
That's weird.
What's weird?
They have to pay for their transportation.
They also have
to have the Secret Service.
I know. I'm guessing if they go somewhere else, like I didn't really elaborate on that, but it also said like if they host an event at the White House, they have to pay for it.
There was
a list of. I just assumed everything, like they just didn't have any expenses while they were there. That's what I assumed, but I'm very incorrect. But you should, if you are interested and want to know, Google it yourself because I didn't write it down. So there you go. I'll give you a little homework.
I like it.
Figure it out. This is a fun little pick-me-up.
Oh, love it.
Good.
Love history. All right. Well, I will talk to you later, ma'am.
Okay.
I love you.
I love you back.